Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen. Daf Zayin. Today's daf is being studied. Lulu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenehel Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. For Ash Shelema Dina Bat Sarah Edna Refanala. For the nefesh of the guf, for the karban lo vechidir asof anamad. Amen. We begin today's daf on Vav Amud Bet. And we are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom, quoting a quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Omer. Rabbi Yosef taught in the Mishnah, it says, Al pi shnayim edim. So you learn from that pasuk that the witnesses themselves have to be the one that gives the hatra'ah, that gives the warning. As opposed to other shittot that say you can have a guy standing in the middle giving hatra'ah or a shed or whatever it is. No, they're saying the witnesses themselves have to give the warning. So Gemara says, Amar le Rabbi Abaye, for me ite le Rabbi Yosef, hay sevara. Does Rabbi Yosef indeed hold of that sevara that the witnesses have to give the warning? Vatenan Rabbi Yosef omer, hasone neherag, mepedesh yu kemuad umutre. It says, a sone, an enemy of somebody that kills, he doesn't need hatra'ah. He already is considered mutreb ve'omed, as if he has a standing hatra'ah already. Which means he cannot come along and say after, oh, by the way, I did it by mistake. Say, no, no, you're a soneh, you're his enemy. We're not going to accept that claim, which means one of the purposes of giving the hatra'ah is to establish that the guy's on purpose, he's mezid. Because always a guy, after he does something, a crime, he come along and say, oh, I didn't know, I was by mistake. So the Hatra says, listen, you know if you do this, you're going to get this and that, and you're going to be ayah mita and all that. So a soneh, an enemy, even without a Hatra, he can't come after the bitten and say, oh, you know, it was by mistake. No, it wasn't my mistake. So therefore you see what Nabi Yosef holds, you don't need a Hatra. In the case of a soneh, you don't need a Hatra. Now Mishnah claimed you what? You indeed need a Hatra. The witnesses have to give a Hatra. But then you see Nabi Yosef says, you don't need a Hatra. Soneh, for example, doesn't need a Hatra. So comes Gemara and says, Amaleahu Rabbi Yosef bar Yehudahi. That shita of a soneh, that's a different Rabbi Yosef. That's Rabbi Yosef but Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda omer, Haver en sari hatra'ah. He says also that a Haver, a Tamid Hakam, doesn't need a hatra'ah. Lefishelo nitna hatra'ah, elo lavhin ben shogin lemezid. What's the whole purpose of hatra'ah? To discern between unintentional and intentional. So a Tamir Hakam, you know he knows the law. We think a Tamir Hakam knows all the Tanakh Mitzvot. So a Tamir Hakam doesn't need a Hatra'ah. Because for sure if a Tamir Hakam did it, he knew what he was doing. He knew the law. So therefore the Biyosef and the Biyudah holds, just like a Soneh doesn't need a Hatra'ah, Chaveh doesn't need a Hatra'ah. But the Biyosef HaMishnah holds, no, you always have to have the Hatra'ah coming from the Aydin themselves. So that's two different the Biyosefs. Okay. Haver, whatever criterion is a haver, he doesn't need hatra. So comes the Gemara and says, Davad acher, apishnaim edim, shelot esedim shomam lepetur geman. We learned also apishnaim edim. The Mishnah taught us that the bedin cannot listen to the witnesses through a interpreter. Apishnaim edim has to come from the mouths of the edim themselves. They have to hear the edim. That's why it says the Bedin, they were fluent in 70 languages. Because any language that the Edim come, they have to be fluent. So Gemara says, Hanehu la'uzi, da'atu lekameh de Rava. There were witnesses, foreigners, they came in front of Rava. Foreign, they spoke a foreign language. The she says, Ba'alei lashon acheret. And the Dayanim did not recognize. Uki Rava tul geman ben ayu. So Rava put an interpreter between them. How do they do that? We just learned that Mishnah cannot listen to Turgeman. Rava Meda Hava Yada Mad Havi Amre. He knew what they were saying. ואהדורהו דלא הווה ידע. He didn't have to answer them. Because he was fluent in understanding the language, but he wasn't so fluent in speaking the language. So therefore the interpreter was not to interpret what they were saying. It was to reply back to them at different questions and things like that. So therefore that's mutar. Il'a vituviya kirbe de'arba hava. Oh. These two witnesses came to court. Il'a and Tuviya. They were related to the guarantor of the loan. Now, if they were related to the actual Malveh and the Loveh that they're coming to testify on, for sure they're pasu, because they're karov. You don't have to be related to the litigants. Here it's a little different. They weren't related to the actual parties, the Malveh and the Loveh, the borrower and the lender. They were related to the guarantor who guaranteed the loan. Now, mind you, we're talking about a case also where the borrower had money to pay. So you didn't need the guarantor in this case over here. So it wasn't like they were activating the guarantor. The guarantor was just there. So it says, Savara papal lebemar, gabe lovei umalvei, rechiki ninu. So the papa said, listen, le gabe the primary people of the loan, the malvei and the lovei, they're not related, they're far, they're distant, therefore it's kasher. Amar Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua le papa, ilet le lelove, lav batar arva azil malve. If the lelove didn't have money, where's the malve going to? He's going to the arev, he's going to the guarantor. So the guarantor is party to the situation. Even though right now in this case, you don't need him. But since potentially if the malve can't get paid by the lelove, he's going to the arev. Therefore the arev is considered like the lelove. And therefore, if they're related, it is going to be pasul. So the machlok in the rabbis, if the witnesses are related to an arev, even in a case where he's not activated or needed, is the testimony good or not? And we have a machlok. Talaka is, cannot be related to the arev. The witnesses cannot be related to the arev. Okay, Mishnah. Tosfot, tap tosfot, mikan, yesh to zahir, ba'adim amon, shlo yu kirubim, v'do le love, v'do le arev. Misha Nigmar Dino. Okay, guy was sentenced in a beddin. Ubarah. He ran away. Ubalifne oto beddin. They came back to that beddin. En sotrin et dino. They do not retry him. Rashi. Lahzor vilisa viliten ulay zakeh. Maybe you could say, v'tzilu et ha'eda, you have to save victims and murderers. Once he was convicted in the Beddin, they bring him back to this Beddin, they don't say, oh, you're back again, okay, let's try to do it all over again. That's it. Once he's sentenced. There's no such thing as sotrim et dino. They don't do it again. Mechadash, they don't start over again. Kol makom she'amdu shnayim. Two guys come along and testify. V'yomru. V'aydim aru b'ish peloni. Shenigmar dino b'beddin shel peloni. We said, listen, the two guys come along and say, see this guy over here? He was sentenced in this witness, in this court. Uploni, uploni, idav. And so-and-so are the witnesses. Hareze yehareg. Kill him. Because they testified that there was a sentencing, and they're giving details. This beddin, this edim, finished. That's enough testimony in order to kill the guy. Okay. They got to give the details. Who are the witnesses? Why? Because any testimony has to be ra'ui to hazama. For a testimony to be a good testimony, you have to be able to make hazama on the witnesses. So if you don't know who the witnesses are, then you have to make hazama. So you say, at 2 o'clock on Monday the 13th, in the such and such a court, Reuven and Shimon were the witnesses, they went and they testified against this guy, and he was sentenced. So now, if technically somebody says, oh, Reuven and Shimon, Monday the 13th, whatever, they were with us. So since they're able to become huzam, because the information was given, that's considered a legitimate testimony, and you'll kill the guy based on the testimony. Sanhedrin nohegit ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, it's hadush. Sanhedrin applies in Israel and in chutz la'aretz as well. Of course, the rabbis need to get their simicha from Eretz Yisrael, but once they get the simicha from Eretz Yisrael, they can go establish courts, even from size. They can murder also. They can not murder. They can kill. They can judge capital punishment cases, just like they're judging in Hutzlah, so long as the Sanhedrin is in Israel. So long as Sanhedrin Gedolah is in Israel, they're allowed to establish courts in Hutzlah. Once already the Sanhedrin is dismantled in Israel, you cannot have courts in Hutzlah that are put in capital punishment. Sanhedrin, ha'oreket ahat b'shavua, nikret choblanit. A Sanhedrin that kills even once in 7 years is considered a choblanit, an injurious court. Too tough. It means once in 7 years is already a lot. Why? Because really the Beit Din is supposed to be expert in trying to get him off. Because the Torah says Ve'etzilut Aida, that the Aida has to try to save the victim. We don't want to have too much capital punishment cases. So see, even one in 7 years is already a lot if somebody dies. Right? They have to try to figure out ways to save them. Which means obviously they're not expert enough in the law. That's what they consider Chublanit. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah omer, Ahat l'shiv'im shana. Oh. What I will say what that means. Once in 70 years. As if to say, even once in 70 years, if Beit Din kills somebody, it's a lot. Rabbi Terfum, Rabbi Akiva omerim, Ilu ayinu b'sanedrin, lo ne'erag adam me'olam. Rabbi Terfum, Rabbi Akiva said, if we were on the Sanhedrin, nobody would ever get killed. Because we know how to interrogate the witnesses in such a way they wouldn't be able to answer our questions and the case would be thrown out. We have ways to always interrogate in a way where they'll be stuck. That's the next line. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Hen Marbin Shofkei Damim B'Yisrael. By doing that, they're going to promote murderers in Israel. Because if murderers know that they can get away with it in the court, so therefore they're going to be they're not going to have any deterrent for murdering, because they know they go to the court and they're going to get the patur. So there has to be a balance of some sort, that she says so again there has to be a balance that Beit Din cannot never kill anybody, but it shouldn't be that common. So comes Gemara and says, we learned in the beginning of our Mishnah, if a guy finished and was sentenced in one court and he ran away and then was brought back to that court, they don't retrial him. So the diyuk is, in that court they don't retry him, but let's say he was brought back to a different court. Sounds like if he gets brought back to a different court, they will retry him. That's the diyuk. So on the same case, Kabbalah says, "Lifnei oto bedin, who de en sotrin? Halifnei bedin achayer sotrin." Only problem is that contradicts our Mishnah. Why? Because what did it say in the second case of the Mishnah? Hatani sefa. We learned in the sefa. Kol makom sheyamdu shnayim veyomru meedim anu et ish pedoni shenigmar dinu bebedin pedoni upedoni upedoni edav harizen eherag. Which means two witnesses come to a bedin, a different bedin. And listen, this guy over here was sentenced in that bedin over there, and these are his witnesses, and this was the situation. They kill him on the spot. What do you mean? According to Amishnah, it's mashma. Once you bring brought to another bedin, you can retry the case. So why did you say in the second part of the Mishnah that when two witnesses go to bedin B and they testify, listen, this guy was sentenced in bedin A, and these are the witnesses, you kill him? See what I says? Amar Abaye Lakasha. It depends. Depends if you're in Israel or if you're in Chutz La'aretz. What does that mean? The Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Dostai omer mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Shattach barach me'aretz Chutz La'aretz en sotin edino barach mechutz La'aretz La'aretz sotin edino lezichuta shel Eretz Yisrael. The guy, let's say, was sentenced in Israel and he runs away to Chutz La'aretz, to outside of Israel. You don't overturn the case. But if he was in Chutz La'aretz and he was judged, and he runs away now and he goes to a court in Eretz Yisrael, the court of Eretz will retry the case. Why? Because there's a concept of Zechut Eretz Yisrael. That she says, what do you mean Zechut Eretz Yisrael? Ulay to'il limsol lo petach shel Zechut. Eretz Yisrael, Avirad Eretz Yisrael, Machkim, the air is makes a person wiser, and therefore maybe the judges in Eretz Yisrael will have a Zechut to find a way to exonerate. So just because you were found guilty in Chutz La'aretz, could be in Eretz Yisrael, they'll have Siyata Deshmaya, we'll be able to find a way to exonerate. But if you go from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, sorry, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, once already you were found guilty in Eretz Yisrael, you go to a different court, in Chutz La'aretz, it's too late. If in Eretz Yisrael they couldn't find a way out, in Chutz La'aretz they're not going to find a way out. So that's the Hiduk. So our Mishnah that says that only if he goes back to the same court, they don't do it over. But if he goes to a different court, they do. That's in Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And that would have said at the end of the Mishnah, that even if he goes back to a different court, they don't retry it. Zoom out from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Zechutah de Eretz Yisrael, Ad Kedekach. Zechutah de Yisrael gives the Dayanim Koach to find different ways to exonerate somebody that was judged even already. Okay. Tu'il limsol lo petach. Okay, Gemara. Sanhedrin noheget. We said that the Sanhedrin is noheget. Ben ba'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz. Minan emile. Detan urabbanan. Vehayu elle lachem lechukat mishpat adorotechem. You got to really get the end of the pasuk for that. The end of the pasuk is bechol moshmotechem. That's the key. Bechol moshmotechem. That you will have courts in all of your dwellings. All of your dwellings even means chutz la'aretz. למדנו לסנדרין שנוהגת בארץ או בחוץ לארץ. אם כן, מה תמוד לומר בשעריך? ששופטים ושוטרים תתן לך בכל שעריך. In your gates. It's משמע only in ארץ ישראל. בשעריך אתה מושיב בתי דינים בכל פלח ופלח ובכל עיר ועיר. חוץ לארץ אתה מושיב בכל פלח ופלח ואתה מושיב בכל עיר ועיר. That's the amount of course that you have to set up. In Eretz Yisrael, they have to set up in every town and every city. But in Chutz La'aretz, let's say in every city, but not in every town. She says, not as many courts as mandated in Chutz La'aretz than there it is in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, every 120 people, you have a village or a town, you have to have a Bet Din. Sheikh in Chutz La'aretz, only in Be'irim, in the big cities, let's say you have to have a Bet Din. Okay. Now we said once every 7 years is Humlanit. That's already a Humlanit. It's a injurious Bedin. It's a Bedin that's too strict. So then Nabi Akiva, one of the rabbis who came, Rabbi Eliezer bin Azariah. No. Rabbi Eliezer bin Azariah min Ahad l'Shiv'im Shana.
No.
I'm reading the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah omer ahad l'shivim shana. So they said what? He said once every 70 years. Once every 70 years what? He didn't say what was every years. So Gemara says, Ibaidu ahad l'shivim shana nekrit hablanit o dilma o racharai. Is it considered hablanit or maybe that's normal? What was he saying? As if he's saying, first rabbi said once every 7 years, hablanit. And then Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah says, once every 70 years. Once every 70 is normal? Or once every 70 is Humlanit? Kabbalah says Tiku. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva Omrim, Ilu Ayinu. If we were in the Bet Din, nobody would ever get killed. We'd always figure out a way to exonerate. Hechi Havu Avde. What would they do? What was their method? What was their technique? Rabbi Hanan, Rabbi Elazar, Tamri Tarbayu. Re'item terefa harag, shalem harag. Guy comes into it and says, we saw this guy, Reuven, he murdered Shimon. That's it. The witnesses are solid. They have the testimony. They saw it. The rabbi would ask them, did you check to make sure that Shimon was healthy? Maybe Shimon that was killed was a terefa. Maybe he was going to die anyway. Maybe he had an internal wound that put him in a situation where he was going to die within 12 months anyway. And Alaka says, if you kill somebody that has a terefa, you're not hayav. Let's say he had a hole in his trachea. There's a terefa. Guy can't live like that more than 12 months. So anybody that comes on the murder case, you ask him, did you check if he was a terefa? Most people don't know how to check if he's a terefa. Most people don't do that. So then he says like this. Amar Avashe, Im Tursil Amar Shalem Aba. If they come along and say, yeah, we checked him out, he was shalem, still get him off the hook. Dilma b'mkom saif nekev aba. How do you know? Maybe where the sword punctured the guy, maybe there was a blemish in that spot before the sword went there. Now you can't check him. Because now the sword is there. You have no idea if it was the sword that did it or the blemish was there from before. They can answer that question. You're right, we don't know. There was, if we were on the Beit Din, we asked them this question, nobody would ever get killed. They would exonerate. Not every case, but in most cases. Question is like this. Tosfot's question is, why don't you go after Rov? Have a general rule, go after Rov. Most people don't have a nikiv, most people don't have a nikiv in the spot where the sword was. And therefore, why can't you just kill him? You have witnesses, they're testifying, you have a Rov. Why can't you kill according to the Rov? You won't be able to check. That's why I say we could always exonerate everybody. It's exactly the point. They're not going to check, they don't know how to check, they don't know what they're looking for. So if we were on the Beit Din, nobody would ever get killed for a murder case. So that's what they're asking, why not? That question doesn't mean anything. By the way, you have two Edim, you have a Rov. So therefore you can kill on a Tosfot, so you can kill on a Rov. So it comes along and says, V'arei Gemara Cholin Mokicha Medin Ze Gufa Shkvat Torah Shevgim Rotsayach Lamot Shesh Efshut. Which is, and from the fact that the Torah says we kill a Rotsayach, that means we go after Rov. The Gemara Cholin is the ayah that how do we know we kill on a Rov is from this Gemara. That we see that the Beit Din, if the two witnesses come into Beit Din and say, Ploni, Reuven killed Shimon, we kill Reuven. We don't say, maybe Shimon was a terefa. Eli Yisum, what? Rov. So what's the shayla over here? Just kill him on the Rov. So he says like this. The Ramban asked this question already. The Ritba asked this question. He says, Shemekoha rochi u'shakol modim, she'ezik l'hashut mumim primi. He says, internal wounds you don't have to suspect. On internal wounds you can assume Rov. ורק על מומים חיצוניים היו שואלים אותם. On external wounds. כיוון שזה דבר שאפשר לבדוק. וכן אין לסמוך בו על הרוב. When do you rely on Rov? On something that you don't check. That's internal. But on external wounds, if they didn't check, you can, מסתמה. No, it's something you can discern yourself. I guess most people, witnesses, they don't check the body like instead of making an autopsy after the, even on their external wounds. So they would ask him, did you see any wounds on the body that make him a tereva? I didn't see. And there's not Rov. There's no Rov. Something you could see with your own eyes. You don't rely on the Rov. Rabbi Rutan mevaer she'achin idlu lo ayu bedid shonim et ha'edim im haya orek terefa o shalem ayu subchim al klal mu vrogim et roseach. Olahar, olam lahar she'ket she'alu otam al inyan zev lo yechol ha'edim nashif ha'edut nefsir keman she'enam yodim prat nusya mashiach l'guf ha'edut. Another answer. Another answer to this one says it like this. You're right. If Beit Din wouldn't interrogate, you'd kill him on a Rov. Once Beit Din asks the question, but now they got to answer. Because now Edim cannot say, I don't know, on something that's germane to the testimony. So that was the Biakivaz and Amitim was Hadrush. We'll ask him the question. Normally, if you didn't ask a question, stop it. Uwe comes along and says, the witnesses, Uwe killed Shimon. We interrogate them to make sure that they're emet and all that. Without asking too many other questions, you kill Shimon. Maybe he's a terefa, Rov. But once you ask the question, do you know if he was a terefa? They can't say, we don't know. Now already you're answering, you don't know, to a question that's a major to the case. That's the way Rabbi Rotam says. Olam, Tosfot to'anim she'en kol sevara bezeh. Tosfot doesn't like it. He says, what's the difference? He says, gam kishelo shu'alim otam she'ela, yesh taniyah shem lo batku ot gufo ve'enam yodrim. What's the difference if you don't ask them? You could assume that they don't know. Because most of the witnesses don't know what they're looking for, don't know how to check. אלא מפרשים את תוספות כוונת הגמרא של רבי תבל והקיבה היו מרבים בבדיקת העדים בפרטים. The point is they would ask so many details שקשה להבחין בהם בראייה רגילה. על שבדרך כלל היו עדים מגיעים להכחיש זה אצל בפרט אחד. Which means you just bombard them with questions. to get them to contradict each other. Eventually, there's so many questions, details, they're going to sorted each other. ואז הייתה נותם נפסל את. לפי הסבר זה, אם היה טרפה או שלם, it's a dugma. According to those, this wasn't the real question. They're just showing you, he would ask them such detailed questions, like, oh, was it a terefa? But this is not the real question. Because this question you have to ask. This question, without it, it's a terefa, you're going off on that. Ela, they would ask him similar questions. So according to those four, this is only an example of the details that were asked. Right, exactly. Not that this question is a question, because this question doesn't matter, because it's wrong. But such technical questions eventually trip them up. All right, see that you were so tired. You said white, you said blue. Okay, bye. I'll throw them out. Okay, that's in a murder case. How are you going to get a guy off in an arayot case? What are you going to ask him? The guy's a terefa, it doesn't matter, terefa. He committed arayot. Guy went to Eshet Ish. We don't care if she's a terefa. Abaye v'rava dami tarvayu ve'item kimachol b'shefoferet. Did you see the stick go into the mascara tube? Which means they ask him, did you actually see the maaseh? You have to actually see the action itself. And she says, now ve'en edim mistakenim bekach. Edim don't look at the actual bi'ah. שפופרת קנה חלוץ שנותנים בו כחול, they put mascara in the tube, וכחל את העיניים to put on the eyes, מכחול הוא כיסם, דק, and the מכחול is the stick that they put in, שבו נותנים את סימא בתוך הקנה. So they ask him such a question over there, which, of course they don't look at that, so how they can know that over there?
They don't have to see that.
I thought they had... According to Rabbi Akiva Mitafon, they have to see that.
Right.
But Rabbanan, what do the rabbis do that didn't hold like this? Obviously, the only Rabbi Akiva held. You just have to see them together. Echidainu, how do they judge a case like that? Anybody sees the kahal going to the shofaret? Kishmuel, Shmuel, bimna afim, mishirau kimna afim. You don't have to see the actual stick going into the tube. It's enough just to see kederecha bin afim. You see them together. You can assume already that that is a bi'ah question of bara. No, we all have the answers here. Who's going to see such a thing? Very hard to see the actual item. So therefore, did you? Now, Tosfot on the bottom has a question over here. Tosfot has a question. What about all the other avirot? That's the bottom Tosfot. What about Abu Nazara? Hello Shabbat. Hi. You're right. On Arayot and on Netzicha, you get off like this. But what about Abu Dazar? I wish Abu Dazar. Now what? You have to kill him. But Shabbat Halul Shabbat. So he says, "Ela Shavirot, Ela Enam Shchichot Kol Kach." Okay, not so common those Avirot. Or every Avira, they had patent questions to get them off. The Gemara is only giving you two examples by Abu Dazar. I mean, by Netzicha and Arayot. In Shabbat, they had also a way to ask him a question to knock him off. In Abu Dazar, they also had a way to knock him off as well. Okay, Hadran Alach. Okay, now we go to the second perek. So we start the second perek of a second makot, famous perek that talks about the laws of Eid Miklat, the person that kills somebody b'shogeg, which is oversimplifying it, obviously, because of many, many details. But a guy, somebody kills his friend b'shogeg, unintentionally, we'll see what that means, unintentionally, so he has to run to a city of refuge, it's called the Eid Miklat, and he has to live there until the Kohen Gadol dies, that is his tikkun. So now the Mishnah begins. Eluhen Hagolin. Okay, these are the people over here that go to Galut. Ha'oreg Nefesh Vishgaga. Okay, straightforward. First, kill somebody Vishogeg. Haya Me'agel B'Ma'agila. The olden days had their roofs. The roofs were flat, but they also had to make them pitched a little so the rain will fall off. So they would have a roller. So they would roll the tar in order to make it smooth. So they would roll it in two positions. They would roll down to make the incline, and they roll back up. Ma'agil b'ma'agila means you're in the down position. you're pushing down, right, towards the ground. And Moshech would be you're going towards yourself. So the Mishnah is going to tell Sadin, you only hayav galut in an unintentional murder if it is derech yirida, if it happened on the way down. So if I am ma'agil b'ma'agila, he was smoothing it and his hand was going down and the thing fell out of his hand and fell off the roof and killed somebody, then he's going to be hayav galut. But if he was Moshech, if he went this way and it slipped and it went and killed somebody, then it's not going to be hayam. Hayam, agib ma'agid. The one with Rashi, Rashi gives you a whole story about these roofs. Ta'in ayug agotim betit. They used to tar their roofs with tar, smoothen them. Vagagot ayug mishupain. It wasn't slanted. Avakar. If it was slanted, you got to tar it. It's slanted already like this. Aval atit mishupain mi'at. The teeth would make it slanted. Kedish yezu amayim. So the water slides off. Vita'in oto behatichat etz ava. They would take like a thick piece of wood, the halka, and smooth. Uba betyar had a handle on it. The dochafa letzad shipua, and they push it towards the incline, and they go down. The chozir moshka elad, then he goes up. The chozir the dochafa v'atit mitmaraya, and the teeth becomes smooth, and it scatters around, becomes smooth. Umachlik b'dochafato koreu ma'agel. When you're pushing it down, it's called ma'agel. Umishchitato koreu moshech. B'shem ha'etz ma'agila. The name of the wood is called a ma'agila. So ma'agil b'ma'agila. You're going down with the ma'agila. V'nafla ala v'arakto. Okay, next case. Hayam mishalshel b'habit v'nafla ala v'arakto. Guy's letting down a barrel from the roof. Mishalshel. With the rope. He's letting the barrel down with the rope. The rope snapped. And the barrel came and killed the guy. Hayah yored b'sulam. Or the guy's coming down a ladder. V'nafal ala v'arakto. And he, one of the rungs fell, he tripped, and he landed on the guy. So all these cases over here, he indeed is gole. Because again, the common denominator is he's going down. She says, not the rung came loose and killed him, the guy himself. That's the rule in the Gemara. אבל אם היה מושך במעגילה ונפלה עליו והרגתו, if he was pulling the מעגילה up והיה דולה בחבית ונפסק החבל ונפלה עליו והרגתו, or he was pulling the barrel up to the roof, היה עולה בסולם ונפל עליו והרגו, he was going up on the ladder, הרי זו אינו גולה. זה הכלל, here's the rule, כל שבדרך ירידתו גולה. Okay, so those are the rules over here. Oh, so we'll see all these cases gonna come into the in the Gemara. Has to be Derech Yirida. We brought three cases over here. Now what do you need three cases to teach you the same rule over here? Basically teach me Yirida. You have the Ma'agel case, you have the barrel case, and you have the latter case. So he says over here, brought three cases because each one is Mosif and Naksh Hadush. If the Torah just would, if the Pasuk would have just given me the case of the Ma'agil, I would say he should have been extra careful. However, Mishalshel Habit Me'agag, for sure he's careful. For sure he's careful. And therefore I can say it's Patur because I can say it's a.
The rope broke.
You're right. So therefore a person is more careful when he's putting a barrel down. So I would have said, if the rope broke, it's onus. Maybe it's like out of his control. Kamash Malan, even in that case over there, where he is careful, if the thing broke, he's considered shorgeg. And the third case is, even where he himself is coming down on the ladder, where he's definitely careful that he doesn't hurt anybody, still, he's still going to be hayav galut. So each case is a more careful situation, and still, we don't say it's an accident, if it's patur, because there's different levels. There's mizid, there's shogeg, and there's onus. This is out of his control. Something happened without him even knowing. So they were saying, even though he could have controlled it and all that, you might think he's he was being careful, and it happened. Kama Shua is still considered a shogeg. Okay. Let's go to the Gemara. Gemara begins. What are we looking for? How do you know that Dafka Derech Yirida? Amar Shmuel, The Amar Kira, Vayapil Alab, Vayamot. Says he fell on him and he died. Ad she yipol derech nefila. Vayapil. This is not the Ketuv. That's it. It's got to be derech nefila. The guy or the chifetz or the item. Whatever it is, whatever fell on the guy. The guy himself or the object. So gezeret ha-katuv. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. It says the pasuk, Bishkaga. He did a Bishkaga. Bibli da'at. What does Shkaga mean? What is Bibli da'at without knowledge? From Raz Doresh, Tanu Rabbanan. Bishkaga prat lemezid. Okay. I did it intentionally. There's no galut. Bibli da'at prat lemitkaven. Bidat is coming to exclude a case of mitkaven, if he killed the kavana. Well, what's the difference between mezid and kavana? It's the same thing. Gemara is going to explain. Mezid, pshita, bar katanahu. Of course a mezid guy doesn't go to galut. You kill him. If a guy kills the mezid, he's a murderer. He's a death penalty. What do you mean he doesn't go to galut? Well, of course he doesn't go to galut. Gemara says, amarava, ema prat leomer mutar. Which is, he did it bekavana because he thought you're allowed to kill. Okay. It's karov le mezid. Bishkaga. Where it's totally a shagaga. Where he did it on purpose, thinking that it's mutar, that already is no good. You can't kill him for that. Because he thought it was mutar. He didn't know. There was no witness. There was no hatra'ah. There was no nothing. So therefore, in such a case, let's go to galut. Be'omer mutar savush mutar laroch et Israel. Veze mezid shelo. He's a mezid in thinking that it was mutar to kill.
Between mezid and
you can't ask that question. How do you know? You didn't know. The guy was born wherever he was born. He didn't know. You cannot tell him. He thought it was about to burn. Whatever it is, he didn't know what to say. Yeah, he thought he could take the law into his own hands. He thought he's doing zealotry. Omer mutar. So therefore, he's a mezid. The guy. He's killing, but he's thinking I'm allowed. So therefore, the hafka has to be a shogeg. Shogeg, which means he didn't have an intention to kill the chlal. But this guy had intention to kill. He just thought it was mutar. That guy doesn't go to galut. Amal abaye, he omer mutar, anusu. Correct. You don't call that guy a mezid. It says shogeg, prat le mezid. Where's the mezid of it? If he did it on kavana, because he thought it's mutar. If he thinks it's mutar, he's anus. That's not called mezid. It's totally Anus. He thought he's doing it permissible. Amale she'ani omer ha'omer mutar karov lemezid hu. He's no. I call an omer mutar guy karov lemezid. Why? Because he should have learned. He should have known. You can't say ignorance is not already an excuse to make you an onus. I consider ignorance omer mutar. You're close to a mezid, but you're not a mezid because you already thought it was mutar. It's like mezid means I know it's asur. I don't care. I'm killing him anyway. Oh, that guy, you kill him. Shogeg case is the guy didn't intend. He didn't intend to kill. It was a mistake. The thing fell out of his hand. Oh, that's shogeg. But out in the mezid where he's killing intentionally, thinking that it's mutar, so that guy over there is considered a mezid. Comes again and says bibli da'at. One more point. Bibli da'at. Prat lemitkaven. Mitkaven, pshita, bar katanahu. Back to the same question. Yeah. If he kills somebody with kavana, he's a rotzayah, memezid. He's chayav mita. Well, of course, you're not going to galut. Amarava, prat, the mitkaven, look at the behema, the harag et adam. Which means he thought, he thought there's an animal over there. So he's going to kill this animal. He shot the arrow. Turns out there was a guy standing there. Mm-hmm. So prat le mitkaven, meaning mitkaven narog ze behema veharag aher. When I was standing next to each other, I'd say, he aimed for the animal, and he ended up killing this over here. Likuti, he aimed for the kuti veharag et Yisrael, and he ended up killing it. He said, lenefel, or a nefel is a child that's not going to live anyway. Veharag ben kayama, and he ended up killing a child that was viable. So bibli da'at, meaning his kavanah was not to kill at all. It's different than the other case. Other cases, prat lemizid, his kavanah was to kill. He just thought it was mutar. Here is bibli da'at, he didn't have kavanah at all to kill. He was aiming for an animal. Bibli da'at, he didn't intention to kill, to kill at all. Those guys don't go to galut at all. Patur, if you kill kuti, patur. You're not chayav. You're not chayav on these mitot. All these cases, if you would kill the nefil, if you would kill the goy kuti, if you would kill the behema, you're not chayav mita. If you say enu mitkaven to somebody, you're not be chayav mita. Oh, you mitkaven for that. So they're going to be patur. Look at that, she.
These cases are on the mitkaven case, not the bidat.
That's a bidat case. Bibli da'at, prat lemitkaven. Correct. Mitkaven lezev laharag lezev. No, one more point. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we continue the story. It says in the pasuk by Hir Meklat, ve'im befeta belo eva hadafo o eshlik alav kol keli belo sidiya. Okay, mepeta means what? Suddenly. Belo eva. He didn't hate the guy. Hadafo, he pushed him, or shlich alav kol keli, or he dropped a keli on him, without sidiya, without a kavanah, let's say. Tanu Rabbanan, you might have to explain all the words. In befeta, suddenly he got him. Well, what do you mean suddenly he got him? Prat the keren zavit. It's coming to exclude a case if the horeg, the murderer, was turning the corner to make a right or left, whatever it is, and he's holding a knife like this. Another guy walks into the, turns the corner, and walks, he didn't see him. That's why he doesn't go to galut. It's got to be something that was... Right, there's no, there's no malice over there. Or intent. Okay? So in that case, there is no galut. It's like an onus. It's like an onus.
Walking around with a knife.
yeah, but I guess he didn't intend to kill the guy. There has to be a little intention over here.
He didn't see him coming.
He didn't see him coming. There was no nebichlal over here.
Turn the corner.
It's two ways of learning it, by the way. There's always going to be two ways of learning in all these cases over here. One way is going to tell you he's a poshaya. So Poshaya doesn't go to galut, because what are you walking around with a knife like that for? And the other will sit down and tell you, what do you mean? You don't got to expect it. It's honest. He's holding his knife. And you don't got to expect the guy in the corner is going to turn right into his knife. So either way, you don't fit the model of shogeg. Yeah, let's call this guy Poshaya. Poshaya, you're too guilty. It's a very fine line to go to galut. There has to be a specific scenario. Even though technically I didn't intend over here, because I don't want to kill the guy. What are you walking around with a knife like this, turning corners? You have to know that there's a possibility over here. Okay, good. So that's that. Bino eva prat lesone. Okay, can we know animosity? But if there was animosity by these two guys already, so then you can, maybe he's intentional already. Hadafo shidahafo bigufo. Hadafo means you pushed them with the body. Shalom with kavanah, without kavanah. You would have thought maybe when you push him with the body, it's mezid. It's not. If he didn't have kavanah, he pushes him with his body, it's still considered shogeg. Or shlich alav, lavi yiridashi letzorech aliyah. Oh, what is yiridashi letzorech aliyah? He wanted to, let's say, hit with the gerzen. Gerzen is the axe.
Swing it.
So you have to swing it. So he has to go down in order to get momentum, right? He can't just go straight at it. So he goes back, yirida, letzorech aliyah, in order to heap forward to gain momentum. So when he went back, the axe fell off and he went to kill somebody on the way down. So there the Hadush is, even though we learned earlier it's got to be Derech Yirida, Hadush over here is, if it's a Yirida, Letzorech Aliyah, it's also going to be Hayav Lavi, the Rabot. It's coming to include the case of a yirida is tzorich aliyah. Belo sediya. Belo sediya means he didn't have really intention over there. Prat lemitkaven lesadzeh and halchala letzad acher. Between to exclude a case where he threw the rock this way and the rock went the other way and killed somebody, that's already onus. That already came mechayev. If he threw it to the destination that he wanted to and it killed somebody over there, b'shogeg, then we could go to galut. Mashiach, if he threw the rock straight and it veered away to the left and it went out of his guidance, so he's going to be patur in that case over there. Go one more line. No, actually, just read the Rashi's for a second. That's it. Just got to read the Rashi's over here. Befeta, third line. Prat ikerin zavit. Shelashon peta hu besamuch. Okay, peta means close. Kedemetargemina, betakif. Prat ikerin zavit. Imaya ze yotze bebavoy ze. Veraz ze lefnot yamin. O lesmo vizekiro biyado. וזה בא כנגדו, בקרן זווית, ולא ראהו והרגו. שתעבור בגופו ולא מתכוון. להביא ירידה שצורך עליה גורן, הנוצא להרים ידו בכוח וגרזם בידו בשפיל תעלת גופו, ושוחל לפניו כדי להרים בכוח ובשפלתו, הרג. דלא תמה הוא יהיה בצורך עלייה, הוא פתור מגלות דרכתי ויפל, כי בלא צדיה לשון צידות שלא נתכוון לצד. בלא צדיה זה לשון צד. He wasn't מתכוון for this side, and the rock went on another side. גמרא continues. Vasher lo tzada. This is also a pasuk that it's talking about. These are the people that go to galut. Lo tzada. He did not mitkaven to throw the rock where he did. Tzad is close to him. He didn't mitkaven to throw it close to him where he was aiming. So the Gemara says prat mitkaven zok shtayim v'zarak arba. It's coming to exclude a case where his intention was to throw it close to him, shtayim, and it ended up going arba is mipatur if he kills somebody, because that's onus. His kavanah was not the only mitkaven to throw two, and it went four, so it's considered onus. He's not going to be hayav galut. Vashir yavoy t're'ehu bayar, says, and he comes and he meets his friend in the yar, in the forest. So the Gemara is doresh. What do you have to give me a case of yar to teach me ir miklav? My yar reshut the nizakul mazik mikanes lesham, just like the forest. There is permission for the mazik and the nizak to be there. Both of them are allowed to be there. Afkod reshut nizak mazik lechanes lesham. So too, the law of galut only applies to an area where both the mazik and the nizak have a permissibility to be there. Okay, and the Gemara is going to explain all these cases. Now we have a question. Ba'a mine Rabbi Abu Rabbi Yochanan. Naya ole besulam. Okay, interesting question. We learned earlier in today's Gemara that what we have a gezerat the ketuv that says vayapel ala vayamot. You only chayav galut derech nefila on the way down. So it comes Gemara and ask, haya ole besulam. Guy's climbing up a ladder. V'nishmat shelibam mitachtav v'nafla v'harga mahu. And he stepped on the rung. As he stepped on the rung came loose, fell down and killed the guy underneath. Ki hagavna aliyahi or yiridahi, the wrong. So how do you consider it? Is it aliyah because he is going up? So then you consider it aliyah. Therefore, there's no galut. Or do you say that since the wrong, he's stepping on it, it's going down, so it's considered derech yirida. Now you can ask a question. What do you mean? We learned already a yirida letzorech aliyah hayav. So this is a yirida letzorech aliyah, but it's a little different because yirida letzorech aliyah is two separate motions. For example, you're taking the axe, you draw it back, that's yirida, you go down, and then you're going up, the tzorech aliyah. It's two separate motions. Here, you're doing it simultaneously. You're doing the yirida and the aliyah together. As you're pushing down, you're catapulting yourself up. So it's yirida v'aliyah biyachad. So the Gemara wants to know, when you make a yirida and aliyah in a simultaneous move, what's going to be the deen if it broke? Amarle, so he told them. So who's asking this question? Rabbi Abu is asking for Rabbi Yochanan. Amarle, kiva nagata birida shiyid tzorech aliyah. So he tells him, you're touching the subject. You're touching the subject of yirida tzorech aliyah. Kananeh, he understood that what this is considered the same situation. His question was, it's being simultaneously. Maybe it's a little different. No. It's considered yirida letzorech aliyah, and if it's going to be hayav. Good. Etive, we have a question. The question from our Mishnah. So you tell me now, this case is hayav hadush. Simultaneous, you're going up and down. You're going aliyah, yiridah letzurich aliyah, going down, pushing yourself up, yahayab. So Gemara has a question. Eti vezakla, amishna. Kol she b'derech yiridah to gole. Anything that's b'derech yiridah, the Mishnah said, gole. Shelo b'derech yiridah to, eno gole. If it's not derech yiridah, you're not gole. So Gemara says, shelo b'derech yiridah to la'atu yemai. What is shelo b'derech yiridah to coming to include? If it's not derech yiridah, it's patur. What case? Lav le'tu yiki ha'gavna. So he says, Rabbi Abu, must be is coming to exclude this case. That if include this case, which is what it says, you don't go to Galut, derech yirida. If it's not derech yirida, it means even if it's a derech yirida, letzorech aliyah. So for Rabbi Yochanan, you see, Mishnah, you're wrong. You came along and said that there's this type of stepping on the ladder and going up, and the thing goes down. It's hayav. What do you mean? Our Mishnah is coming to exclude that case. Because what did our Mishnah say? Kol she'eno derech aliyah, patur. What is it coming to include? What is it? En derech aliyah. Meaning even if, kol she'eno derech yiridah, even if you're going up and the thing goes down, like in the case of the ladder, it's coming to say you're patur. So he comes back to Rabbi Yochanan and says, what do you mean? V'letameh, kol she'bederech yiridah to la'atu yemai. How do you learn this? The Resha of our Mishnah. The Resha of the Mishnah said, kol she'bederech yiridah to. Anything that's derech yiridah is hayab. What's the call coming to include? Must be coming to include this case, which means if you're learning that kol she'eno derech yirida is coming to exclude a latter case, so then what's the kol she'bederech yirida? What latter case is that coming to include? Which means whatever this is excluding, this has to include in the same scenario. And therefore, you have nothing to include in the latter case because you know the latter case is indeed patur. So what's the kol she'bederech yirida? Go there then. Well, what case is that? Ela, you know what? Really, I'm right, Rabbi Yochanan says. Derech aliyah, yiridah, letzorech aliyah, in the latter case, hayav. And the Mishnah that talked about yiridah, hayav, and not yiridah, patur, it's coming to exclude nothing to do with ladders. It's coming to exclude totally different cases. Ela la'atuye katzav. It's coming to bring the case of the katzav, the butcher. Hachanami la'atuye katzav. So to the sefa, it's coming to exclude the case of katzav. What's the case of katzav? The Tanya. Katzav. Shayam Katsav. Four brightot over here. You have a katsav. He has an axe. He's chopping the meat, let's say, right? So we have a brighta. Tanahada lefanav hayav laharav patur. One brighta says, lefanav, if he's going in front of him, if the axe is going in front of him, right, towards the thing he's hitting, so lefanav hayav laharav, if it's going back, patur. That's one. Vetanya idach laharav hayav patur. Another brayta, exact opposite. Acharav is chayav and lefanav is patur. Tanya idak ben lefanav ben acharav chayav. Tanya idak ben lefanav ben acharav patur. So you have all scenarios covered. Chayav patur, patur chayav, chayav chayav, patur patur. So now the Gemara's got to answer. How could you reconcile all these cases over there? That's not a question. Okay, that's not a question. Kan birida shelefanav ba'aliyah shel acharav. Stop. That's brayta number one. Birida shelefanav. Birida, meaning you're going in front, you're cutting the piece of meat, let's say. So yirida lefanav, you're going down. So you're going down, derech yirida, it's chayav. Ve'aliyah shel acharav. Acharav means before you go down, you're going up. You're lifting the axe up to get some momentum, let's say, right? So aliyah le'acharav, as you're going behind you. So let's say you killed somebody going up. That's going to be patur. So therefore, lefanav is yirida, and acharav is aliyah. That's the first brayta that says, yirida, lefanav is chayav, and aliyah is going to be patur. Kan ba'aliyah shelefanav yirida shelacharav. Second brayta is the exact opposite. Kan ba'aliyah shelefanav. Aliyah lefanav means, let's say the axe is in front of you, and you're lifting it up. So aliyah shelefanav, if it's in front of you and you're going up, you're going to be patur. V'yirida shelacharav. Yirida shelacharav is the axe is behind you and you're going down. So basically the answer always is going to be direction. Always when you're going to go up it's going to be patur. Always you're going to be down, it's going to be hayab. Sometimes down it's in front of you, sometimes down is behind you, sometimes up is in front of you, sometimes up is behind you. That's all the cases are. Kan birida shelefanav. Now v'shel acharav. Can be yiridah shelefanav. Yiridah shelefanav is yiridah shelefanav is going down. V'shel acharav, and behind you, when you're putting it back, you go all the way back, it goes up, and then all of a sudden it starts to go down again. So therefore, when it's Yiridash Lefanav and Yiridash Laharav, it's going to be Hayav in both cases. Kan Ba'aliyash Lefanav Vishil Aharav. And then you have Aliyash Lefanav, that's when you're going up in front of you. And then when it's Aliyash Laharav, when you're going forward, Shal Aharav, also it's going to be Hayav. So therefore again, basically the Gemara's answer is, before you go back to Mishnah, yeah, four cases of Katsav. Actually, you know what? Let's just read all the answers in Nashi. He says it very clearly, like I told you. We'll read Nashi. Nashi's going to say. Haki Garcina, you see a big Nashi there? Haki Garcina? Can be Ridash the Fanab, Balea Shaharab, Kam Balea Shaharab, Balea Shaharab, Kam Balea Shaharab, Balea Shaharab, Kam Balea Shaharab. Call Derek Aliyah Patur. That's the rule. Anytime it's Derek Aliyah Patur. Vecho Derek Irida Hayav. Finished. That's the rule. If kacha, the Tanya lefanav hayav laharav patur, birida shelefanav ve'aliyah shelaharav. He spiel zero'o, he extended his zero'a kede laharim bekoach, in order to lift it up bekoach, ve'erim mikoach lefanav. So behashpalato hayav, which means when he's lowering it in front of him, he's lowering it. Doesn't have to be in front of him necessarily. Lefanav means he's going down. When he's going in front, going down, so he's going to be hayab. Harag ba'aliyato la'acharav patur. But as he's going up, lifting the thing up, the axe up, he's going to be patur. Because it's derek aliyah. V'ad etanya la'acharav hayav. Oh, the second bright, it says hayav hayav. Lefanav patur. Ba'aliyah shelefanav. That's when he has aliyah in front of him. V'iridasav. Go on. Hamerim yado bekoach. He's lifting his hands bekoach. Ad shishpilo derek achorav. Mimar leketefav. Which means he lifted it so much, the axe so fast, ad shishpilot derech achorav. It jolted behind him. He lifted it so fast and it went behind him. Mimar leketefav vechozer vegbihan lakot lefanav. So harag bashpalato derech achorav hayav. Which means bashpalato derech achorav, when it started to go derech hashpala, going the other way down, it's hayav. Harag bagbato patur. But when he's going up to put it behind him, he's going to be patur. بعد تاني بين فرق بين خراب حياة بريداش فرق وش خراب تاني بين فرق خراب بتوب عليه شرف خراب. Now what does that have to do with our Mishnah? That's the question. Basically, the Mishnah is coming to say like this. Our Mishnah gave two statements. One, the first statement of the Mishnah was called shederech yirida chayav, the called sheeno derech yirida patur. What is the call coming to include? The called shederech yirida chayav is coming to include the case of chayav by the katsav case. And the kosher derech yirida patur is coming to include the patur cases by the two brayot of katsav. So both mishnahs are coming. Both parts of the mishnah are nothing to talk about the latter case. Whether the latter case according to Rabbi Yochanan is chayav, unless it's a yirida letzorech aliyah. Oh, so what's the case of the mishnah talking about? It's talking about these cases of katsav. And what's the common denominator in all the cases? It all depends what direction the axe is going. Is the axe going on the upswing patur? Is the axe going on the downswing? Is going to be hayab. Let us say that indeed this case of the ladder, going up the ladder and the rung breaking, let us say it's a machloket tanaim. Nema ketanei haya ole besulam. Guy was climbing up a ladder, v'nishmeta sheniba metachtav, and the rung fell from underneath. Tanihada hayab. Tanya idak patur. One says hayab galu, one says patur galu. My lab, that can be pagi. More sevad yidai, or more sevad aliyai. Very good. Simple machloket. Well, the rabbi says Yehayav Galut, learns it's a Yirida, and the rabbi that says it's Hayav holds it say Aliyah. Lo dekula alma Aliyahi. Everybody holds that really when you're climbing up the ladder it's considered Aliyah. So what's the machloket? Berakashia. Kanan is a kin, kanan Galut. But I thought about two different subjects. Le'inyan Galut, everybody's going to say he's going to be Patur. Because bottom line, they consider it going up the ladder. If you consider going up the ladder, you're Patur from Galut. Ah, but the writer that said Hayav, that's my damages. Like a bit damages, yahayav ben shogeg ben mezid ben aliyah ben yirida. The only discussion that we have between aliyah and yirida is in yan galut. But in yan damages, a person is obligated on any way he damaged. So that's the answer of the two rabbis. Both rabbis really agree. One is talking about galut is going to be patur because it's considered derech aliyah, and one is talking about the zakin is going to be hayab because it's last time you damaged in any which way you did. Iba etiman another answer. Have a hal galut. I can answer both, but I thought I'm talking about galut. V'la kasha, had the itla, had the lo itla. It's talking about one bright is talking about where the rung became wormy. Once it became wormy, so now it's shaky. So therefore, when the person steps on the rung, even before he catapults himself up, already it went down before he went up. In that case, it's going to be hayav. Everybody will hold that's considered a yirida, because the yirida took place before the aliyah, because the rung already was shaky, because it was decayed. And the brayta that said patur from galut is lo etla, it's a solid, strong rung. So therefore, it only fell after he pulled himself up. It fell down from underneath. I can tell you the Gemara is taking both cases to my way. It wasn't decayed, the rung. Is it fastened well into the holes or not? It's not wormy or decayed. If it's fastened well into the sockets on the side, so therefore when you step down on it, it's not going to go down until you lift yourself up. Oh, that's considered aliyah, patur from galut. But if it's not fastened well, even when you step on it before you put yourself up, what happens? It moves. So therefore it's going to be hayah. So those are, you cannot bring a ayah from these two rabbis that it's a machloket. Even though Rabbi Yochanan himself said hayav galut, but you cannot bring a ayah from over here that indeed is a machloket. I can say everybody over here really will say that it's considered an aliyah because of the different scenarios that we have. Either was talking about the zakin, either was talking about it was hetliya, or was talking about it was lo mehudak.